10 again, and I'm not going to keep you too long tonight. I know that's always loaded words, but Joshua chapter number 10, I'm going to try to skip all the way through the introduction, not read, preach, or deal with what we did this morning, and get right into the body of the message. So your Bible should just flop right open to the book of Joshua, as much as we've been there lately. Joshua chapter number 10. Let's stand tonight. We'll begin in verse number 6. The Bible said, "And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hands from thy servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us." So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people arose, all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee." Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. And there were more which died with the hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. Began this morning on the preaching on the subject, strategies. Brother Jetty, go get me a water, please. Strategies for the day of battle. And we without going back in and dealing with what we did this morning and the introduction, I believe you know where we are. We're leaving Canaan. We're leaving the wilderness, and we're headed to Canaan. And here, Joshua and the mighty men of valor and the children of Israel, they had made, prior to chapter number 10, they had made and sort of got tricked into making a league and saying they would help the Gibeonites. And so here comes the Gibeonites falling. And let me just say a quick word about that. You better be careful who you make deals with. And the Bible said it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. And how many times have I wish I hadn't, but many, many times we get in the habit. Let me save you some headache. Learn how to say no. Don't say, "Yeah, I'll help you. Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah, I'll do that." It's easy to say that, but then the favors come calling, and before you know it, you can be snowed in and snowed under with more headache and trouble, when all you had to do from the start was just say, "I'm too busy right now. I wish I could, but I can't." Or you could do like a lot of people do these days, Brother Ned, and just say, "Yeah, I'll help you," and then don't. Then you call, and then they act like they ain't never heard of you. "Who? What's your name? Huh? I said that?" No, our word ought to be, mean something. And so even though these wasn't Joshua's people and this wasn't Israel's companions, they knew that they had given their word. And so when the favor come calling, they were faithful and they come. Thank you. And they come and they said, we will not just go out and cut your yard and not just go trim some hedges for you. No, they went to battle. They went to war with these Gibeonites because they gave their word. Our word matters. And so that's where they are. And so, but God even takes things that we're tricked into and things that others didn't have the best intentions of. And people are trying to get over on. And God can turn that around, and he did. God took all the enemies of Israel and put them in one place so that God could give victory, not just one at a time, but to a half a dozen or more all in a day. And wrought one of the greatest miracles ever known to man. The Bible says, we just read it, there was never a day like it before nor after. And so with all of that going on and we're moving toward Canaan, the heart and my heart is, from here, what can we learn? What strategies did they have in place that we can pick up on and pick through and learn from and implement into our daily lives as we move and face some of the same enemies? And so as I do want to read a couple of scriptures I read this morning. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Then Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And so we spent most of the time this morning talking about how this was a physical battle, but ours is spiritual. And so our arsenal and the way that we battle will not be physical. It will be spiritual. The way that we will overcome our obstacles and our foes will not be with fist and will not be with sword and gun. It will be by the hand of God through spiritual means. We've got to, I dealt with that over and over this morning, but we got to pound that into our head. We will not, everybody said, I want to win. Everybody, when we started preaching the series, said, I want to go. You tell anybody, hey, we're getting a trip up to go. We took our young people, took our youth group last year, I believe, to the Ark. Was that last year? 2 years ago? Time flies when you're having fun getting old, trying to hang out with the youth. But we took them up to the Ark way up north, and we became Yankees for a week. And they had a ball, and word got back to some of y'all. And it wasn't long, and my phone started ringing. I started getting text messages, and they was 50-year-old people saying, I want to go. And they was 60-year-old people saying, ooh, take me. And then they were 70-year-old people saying, if you get another trip, I'm in. In other words, even in their 80s, they were people telling me, if you go again, if y'all taking a trip, I want to go. Hey, I hope that's true. But you know what I've learned, James? Everybody wants to go till it's time to go. Everybody wants to get in. It's a good thought, and I'm guilty of that a lot of times. I want to do a whole lot of things until it's time to do it. And it's 100 degrees outside, and my chair gets to feeling comfortable, and normally my air conditioner would be cool, and it's real cozy inside my house. And when it's time, but these people, it was time to move. It was time to go, and they got up and they went. And we need to understand, listen, it ain't going to be, the Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. It's a spiritual war that we're engaged in. You ain't going to be strong enough. You ain't going to endure physically. We've got to learn, and I mean focus on this. Again, what was said this morning, everybody listen, how do you stay in the wilderness? Keep doing what you was doing. It ain't hard to stay where you are. Matter of fact, it just comes natural for life just to remain and exist how it is. But if you want to go higher, you got to change and gain some strategy and think through and be, purposeful about the moves that you're making. That makes sense? And so that's what I want to look at is the strategies. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so therefore weapons must be spiritual as well. Last verse, and then we're going to get right into it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Just quick word about that. Anybody here got any strongholds? I ain't going to put my finger on you, and I don't want you putting your finger on me. Because to be honest with you, I know my strongholds. And if I'll just focus on mine, I ain't got time to focus on yours. Brother Bobby, I ain't going to go prying and poking and peeking through your shrubs to check out what you're doing. But I can guarantee you there's things that you know and God knows, and I'm pretty sure Sandy knows, that are weaknesses of yours. Miss Sandy, ditto. And I could go to every person and every family and every teenager. We all have weaknesses. We all have strongholds. Are you hearing me? And what did the verse I just read say? Our weapons, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You got a stronghold you'd like God to pull down? Quit trying to pull it down physically. Quit trying to use your force and might and muscle it down, because so far, how's that working? You know what I found? It ain't working too good. Oh my, that's why they're called strongholds, not weak holds. If there's weak holds, I might could handle it. But they're strongholds. Anybody out there got any? Oh, y'all got spiritual all of a sudden. No, we got them. Would you just say, man, what I'm about to say? Would you not like to see one of them obliterated? Would you like to see God take that one thing you fought for years? That one thing that I ain't got to know, that I ain't got to say or articulate, but you know your greatest weakness. Wouldn't you like to see God pull that down for you not to have to contend with and battle every day of your life and go back to God and say, oh, God, it's me again. Lord, here I am again needing forgiveness. Lord, here I am again. I'm so ashamed. Oh, Lord. I don't even want to talk to you because I'm so ashamed. I'm asking for the same thing again. Oh, is that just me? That's strongholds. And we need, if we're going to make it over there, a stronghold that can't make it with us. And so we got to learn some different strategies to get loose from them and watch God pull them down. So with that in mind, let's join Joshua and the armies of Israel as they fight the good fight of faith, and let's see what we can learn for the strategies for the day of battle. Number one, say a word about the strategy of the Savior. Look again at verses 6 through 15. Verse 6, Joshua chapter 10, verse 6. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, For I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. And Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. Now, let me read on. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down of Beth-horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven. Listen to this. Upon them unto Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones, and they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. And it goes on, talks about how God stopped the sun, and God stopped the moon, and all day long and all night long, the sun stayed in its socket and did not move, and time as we know it stopped. But did you catch that little part of that verse that I just read last where it said, That the hailstones, the stones that God rained down out of heaven, killed way more than the children of Israel did with swords. You know what that tells me? I'm talking to you about strategies about the Savior. God is a Savior. God is Lord. Ain't you glad the Lord's on your side? Ain't you glad that your enemy ain't God who can just speak and by the word of his mouth big giant balls fall out of heaven that land on you and your family and your cohorts and all that are fighting with you? In other words, God could wipe you out with a word. God could drop hailstones out of heaven on you, but we're not the target, praise the Lord. And he's got guided GPS. There ain't one hailstone going to fall out of place. They'll all fall on your enemies when you need them to. That is a Savior. That is a God I want on my side, and I thank God he's on my side and I'm on his. Amen. I mean, you got five companies, five kings, five whole groups of people that have yoked up together. And you know what our greatest fear in America is today? If you hadn't noticed, if you ain't paying attention to geopolitical things that are going on and the tectonic shifts that are happening in our world, did you know that China and Russia are coming together? I mean, those polar opposites that have hated each other and have never wanted to be close, now we've pushed them into each other's arms, and Iran's tagging along right with them, and the world is shifting right in front of us. And here's Israel, and not just one enemy, but I'm talking about five at one time. Looks like a catastrophe. Looks like the end of Israel. But what them five kings failed to realize is the same thing Xi, the leader of China, and Putin, the leader of Russia, they still fail to realize it, that Jesus is Lord. And listen, Israel is the apple of God's eye. They're not going to push that Jew out. They're not going to overcome Israel. And praise the Lord, I'm glad no matter how many demons are in hell or out of hell come against Israel and the people that stand with them, they can't overturn them. And whether it was five kings back then or 55 kings today, God will prevail. And you better choose your side wisely. When you're doing your strategy, as for me and my house, we choosing the Lord. Amen. Because he's going to win. Even when they stacked up against you, even when the odds are against you, we are in the majority. We are the winning side. And so, look, let me say a word. In these verses, Israel is about to honor their peace treaty they made with the Gibeonites. They're going to keep their word and help these people. And they, as they prepare for battle, the Lord comes to them with a promise to help them win the victory. Boy, what a promise. Joshua's probably sweating it. He's thinking, here I am, done. Tell everybody, leave your tents. Leave your possessions and just whatever you don't carry to Canaan, grab it, because, I mean, it's right inside. And the next thing they know, they're facing not just one army, not two, but five armies. That's bad. I ain't great at math, but five's bigger than one. It's bad. It looks bad. It looks bleak. But God sent a word, and I'm sure Joshua's thinking, oh my, what have I got myself into? I promised these crazy Gibeonites that I'm going to help them, and now they done got all the people, all the countries around us teaming up against us. And then God whispers a word of peace and a word of promise to Joshua, and he said, they ain't one of them. Not one will stand against you. I will handle it. I'll take care of it, and you ain't strong enough, but I am. Amen. And God comes through on his promises. And God did come through. God's about to fight for his people. And this section represents the supernatural aspect of our battles. Do you know there's some battles you can't win? Hey, hear me now. There's some battles that you've been fighting that you'll never win. It ain't in you. That's hard to come to grips with. But there's some things that only God and a supernatural act and move from God can bring victory. I'm not talking about in a generic sense. I'm not even talking about in the church. I'm talking about to you personally. There's some mountains you can't climb. There's some rivers you can't cross. You'll drown before you do. And it's going to take the hand of an unseen God coming up under you and carrying you through the river and pushing you up the mountain and getting you over some of the greatest hurdles of your life. Supernatural. That's what they had to have. And God was there to see to it that they would win. The Lord, there are times, listen, the Lord comes to our aid, and I mean right on time. Have you ever felt like this is it? I'm going down for the last time. And I mean right on time. If I had time tonight, I could tell you time after time when I done got the 8 count. I was done. I was ready to write my resignation. I was ready to never show back up. I was ready to throw the towel in or whatever cliche you want. And here come God right on time. And he lifted me and he pushed me through. And it's only by the grace of God that he supernaturally stepped in and fought my battles and fixed things that I didn't even know was wrong. Yeah. And fought battles and fought enemies I didn't even know were there. Yes, sir. My. Hushed mouths that I didn't even know was open. Stopped bullets I didn't even know had been fired. Oh yeah, supernatural. I'm glad I'm on his side. You ever seen God work a miracle in your life? I mean, we just read about a great miracle, several of them in the text. But you know how, listen, I'm not trying to be super spiritual, but you know how we think, oh, that's just the Bible. That's just in the Bible. So it is just in the Bible, but it's in the Bible. And the Bible is true. Every word of the Bible is true, but I'm trying to dumb it down for us packlet people. In other words, has he ever worked one for you?
Yes, sir.
My goodness. Are y'all that sleepy? I'm talking about miracles. I'm talking about God sweeping it. Do y'all want me to preach to y'all how y'all look at me? Under heaven. I get up there and sleep with the best of you. I know your belly's full, but come on. Great time of day. I can dismiss you and give you some NyQuil and let Ted go home. I'm talking about a miracle for you. If that really happened, if you're not just in it for the snooze tonight, if God ever penetrated your life when you needed him most and it looked like the end of your marriage, it looked like the end of your testimony, it looked like the end of whatever was in front of you and you thought life as you knew it was over, and God parted the waters and stepped in and said, here I am. I ain't talking about what we heard in testimony. I ain't talking about even what I read in the Bible. I'm talking about in your life. Has that ever happened? Could I give you just one? Oh, I'll give you just the greatest miracle ever wrought in my life. I was dead. I mean dead. I had nothing in me that wanted God. I had nothing in me that had a breath toward God. And the God of heaven came to me in my sinful, wicked, worst state when I had nothing to offer him and quickened my spirit and give me an antenna for God and said, come, I'll take you just like you are. Dirty, stinking, nasty, vile, wretched, filthy. Smell like the hog pen. But I will cover you and I will clothe you and forgive you and put a ring on your finger and shoes on your feet and I'll bring you into my house and call you my son.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So that sounds like a fairy tale, fiction book. Oh, it's better than that and it's real. How do you know it? Because I was there. It happened to me. And if you saved, it happened to you. If he could do that and steal you out of the hands of the enemy, your greatest enemy, the devil, who wanted to take you to hell, don't you think he can whoop five of whoever the devil sends your way? Oh, yeah, he can. I'm talking about strategies of the Savior. We've got to put him first. I could have started out with other strategies and other war plans, and we're going to get to them, and we have responsibilities, but hey, first things first. That in all things, he has the preeminence. He's number one. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be. I'm saying we can't win until we realize he's the one, he's the captain of our salvation. If we have a shot at winning, it'll be because he did it. We got to know that. We've got to know that. These three precious truths revealed, and we're just going to probably get to one, the Savior, the strategy of the Savior. Number one, he gave peace. Don't forget what we read. Five, not people, armies, king. I mean, a group of people big enough to have a king. And if you're a king, you probably got an army. And here they all yoked together and right in the middle of all hell breaking loose at them, trying to kill them. Them in the bullseye. God said this. Verse 8. God said, fear them not. That's what he said. He said, don't. Just chill, I got this. Don't fear them. Don't that sound outlandish? Did God prove right? Oh, yes. In other words, he gave them peace. Yes. That's part of the strategy that you need. Because you're going to flip out along this next leg of the journey. Because it's going to change. And it's going to get, I mean, there's going to be cliffs that look awful, awful deep, and there's going to be curves that look awful, awful steep. It's going to be rocky ahead. And you're going to need to know, God said, don't fear this next part. I'm going to give you peace. I'm talking about supernatural peace. Peace that will make you sleep when you shouldn't be able to. Peace that will carry you when you thought your world would fall. God said, don't fear them. Listen, God's challenge to his people was for them not to fear the enemy. God still wants it. Do you think God wants you scared of the one he whooped on Calvary? Yes, the devil's strong. Yes, the devil's slippery. Yes, the devil's powerful. He is powerful. He's the most powerful angel ever created. He's the most powerful being ever created. But praise the Lord. Jesus said, all power. Not part, not some, not most of. He said, all power is given to me in heaven. And boy, that'd been great. But I live on earth. He said, and in earth. That gives me peace. Ain't you glad God ain't just wait? I'm glad he's in heaven because if he's down here, he'd be sinking in the same hole we are. He's in heaven. But praise the Lord, he's also here. He's that big. Amen. Amen. God was just reminding Joshua, I'm still in control. Could I remind you this evening? He's still in control. He's still on his throne. He still has all power. He ain't lost an ounce of it. He's God. And you're on his team. That ought to speak some peace into your life. The Bible says in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace is great. He's the Prince of Peace. And he said, my peace I give unto thee. And he said, this peace, it passes understanding. You can't comprehend it. You don't understand how this operates. This is a supernatural gift from God when your world should be falling apart. And he says, peace. It passes what your heart can hold. It passes what your mind can contain. It's amazing. Have you ever experienced that? I remember, just going back to the miracle that I first experienced. I remember. And we've got away from this somehow, but everybody hear me. Somehow we've got away from this. Preachers have got away from this. Churches have got away from this, but you can't get saved. You can't experience that first miracle I was talking about without Holy Ghost conviction. I mean God convicting you of who you are and what you are. That's a sinner. That deserves hell. I remember going from that, I mean, knees knocking, tears coming out of my eyes, dangling out over hell, thinking, oh God, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I nailed him to the cross. It's my sin that put him there. Oh God, forgive me. I'm so wicked. I'm so worthy of hell. And I went from that kind of emotional state to forgiven. Peace, and he gave it to me, and it just like a Category 5 hurricane going on in my head and my heart, just laid down like a puppy dog. Immediately. That's miraculous. And listen, salvation ain't all about emotion, ain't all about feeling, but praise God, I felt something. I ain't saved because how I felt, but I enjoy it. When the world of my sin and the weight of my sin is lifted and the waves that were over my head laid down. When I read in the Word of God how they were out on the ship and it was tossing and turning and Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, Brother Jackie, asleep. How? Because he's the Prince of Peace. And waves that are over our head, they're still under his feet and it didn't bother him. And they went and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What did he say? What did he say? Peace. Be still. What happened? The waves and the wind, they have to obey him. Know why? Because he's the Savior. You know why he made the winds and the waves lay down? Because he had people on that boat that he loved and cared about. That's why they called him Master. And he was willing to change science and change the climate. You're talking about, hey, these loony tunes hollering, climate control. Notice it used to be global warming until it got too cool and they changed it to that. And then, so they just said climate change and it's always changing. Well, duh. That's what climate does. You don't know what real climate change is? It ain't a process. It's a person. He's the climate changer. He changes it at will. Not ours, but his. Yeah. Well, that's peace. So, the first gift and the first part of our strategy as we think about the strategy of the Savior is he gave peace. The secret to walking in peace is walking by faith. Got to know that. You got to get that. Part of this strategy is you got to know it's going to get rocky ahead. There's going to be turbulence ahead. And you ain't going to be able to see It's bad enough when you can see. But let the lights go out. Let me even take that a step further. This year, I flew many times in my life, hours and hours at a time, to other continents. Never bothered me whatsoever. Never. This year, for some reason, we flew down to Florida. And we got up in that plane, and they said, we're going to get y'all out of here 15 minutes early, prior to time to fly out. This pilot was almost in. I'm just that good. That's sort of the air he had about it. I said, well, you just be that good, big boy. Get me there 15 minutes early, and I'll call you that good. Well, we pull out to the runway, and we taxi out, and remember, pride comes before a fall. No pun intended. He said, excuse me, and you could hear it in his voice. He was so ashamed and embarrassed. He knew he shouldn't have come out and said, I'm going to get y'all out 15 minutes early. Because now he had to eat them words and say, excuse me, pardon me, I'm sorry. But I forgot to put fuel in the plane. We got to go back and wait for the fuel truck to come and load us up. Because I don't think we got enough fuel to get to Florida. How about change my pilot? How about that? When you're changing the fuel, dump him and put me a good one in there. For the first time in my life, that joke that I always heard around planes, I'd hear people say, the Bible says, and lo, I am with thee always. I was feeling that. I said, I don't know about this. And then, so here I am. I'm already claustrophobic. I don't like to be, it's something about jail that just, I just don't like it. I don't like being in little tight spots. I got it from my daddy, I reckon. I don't like being cramped. And I don't like being, I won't even go on a cruise because I don't like being where I can't get off if I want to. I don't like that. If I want to get on the land, I want to get on the land. If I want to be done with this trip, I want to be done. I ain't going to be out in the middle of the ocean. And I've come to realize in my older age, I don't want to be on a plane if I can help it. So I'm out there, and what was supposed to be 15 minutes early turned into an hour and a half sitting on that runway getting fuel. And by that time, I was thinking, under heaven, I don't want to be in this capsule. I don't want to be in this thing. And I couldn't get off. And I didn't like it. And then we get up, and it says turbulence. I'd heard turbulence 100 times. It never bothered me. I enjoyed it. I laughed as I bounced from air pocket in the past. This time, my mind got to playing tricks on me. I got to thinking, this is it. I'm a goner. I'm going to heaven right here from an airplane. I'm dead. I said, if I ever get off this thing, I ain't getting back on. Well, then we get up in the clouds. And I mean, I could see way down there when we was, and then everything just went, it was gray, but it really might as well have been black. It was dark. I couldn't see nothing. I couldn't see the ground. I didn't know if I was up or down. And my point being, it's bad when you can see your problems, but it gets to a whole nother level when you don't know where you are, how far you are, how much longer it's going to be, and every minute seemed like an hour. And when you're in a problem, and when you're in the bullseye of the enemy, and you're in the heat of the battle, seconds feels like eternities. You ever watch some of these war documentaries, and they interview some of these people who's in World War II, that greatest generation? They were in the foxholes with, I mean, man, they tell stuff that you, when they're telling it in such a way, you feel like you was in that hole with them. But you wasn't, and I wasn't. But could you imagine? I mean, D-Day, I just listened to Ronald Reagan give the speech again, how they went up on and climbed and scaled them cliffs. Could you imagine getting off of a boat knowing everybody you knew and 90% of who you didn't was going to get shot right then and there and die? Don't you think them seconds seem like eternity? Like, there's 4 more people before I get off. 3 more. Don't you reckon you'd be saying some prayers?
Sure.
I'm simply saying, when you're in the heat of it, it gets hard. when the lights go out, you better, and this is my point, if you want peace, you better already know who your faith's in. It's a bad time to try to figure out who God is and get to know Him in the heat of your battle when the enemy's breathing on you. Be good to already know Him and have been walking with Him in the dark. Walk with Him in the day, so when the dark comes, you'll know how to follow Him. I didn't mean to spend that much time on that, but it needed to be said. I wrote, the Lord didn't save you to live an agitated life. I need to remind myself of that quite often. I stay agitated. And the older I get, the more agitated I stay. I just get, so I'm going to be one of them ornery old men. I hate that. I remember seeing old men and thinking, well, he broke up on the wrong side of the bed. All I said was, hey, how you doing? Good day, buddy. I don't want to turn into that old man. But I felt myself turning into it. I just all got a scowl on my face and just look at people like, why are you looking at me? Don't speak to me. Get away from me. Crazy people. I wrote, God didn't save us to live an aggravated, irritated life. He saved us to put peace in our life and to give us life and life more abundant. That's why He saved you. I could have been agitated and aggravated, lost. God saved me from that and you. And put peace in our heart. When the day of battle comes in your life, the Lord will give you peace. If you'll lean on it. And that's the key. He will give it. But it's as simple as this. Do you want it? Listen to me. I done lost one prayer. Stay. Right here in this building, in this room. Listen, this, you want peace? Everybody look, I'm going to give you an illustration. It's very complex. You got to catch it. If you want peace in the battle, this is how you get it. You ready? I had faith that that thing would catch me. And right now, all my weight ain't on me. It's on that. You know why? Because I leaned on it. My feet hurts. I'm old. I'm gray-headed, but I'm still better looking than you. I'm simply saying, if you want, I had to say a joke just to wake some of y'all up. Listen, if you want His peace in the battle, you got to learn how to lean. You can't carry it all the time. Get what I'm saying? This is part of the strategy in the Savior. His shoulders are broad enough to carry what you can't. Hey, I know this will be on the internet, and I know this ain't politically correct, but you know, ladies, please don't get mad at me, this is the Bible. You know, you was built as the weaker vessel. Miss Connie, you ain't supposed to be able to carry what He does. Wasn't built for it. Now, you got characteristics and qualities, and all you ladies, that we don't have. You can love and be gentle and things that we don't have. But God didn't make you ladies to carry the load like He did men. That's just a fact. And you can tell every transgender in hell and out of hell, that's the truth. Amen. Men and women are different. God made them that way. But hear me. Don't we believe that? Don't we believe that? Don't it need to be said? Now, if you believe that, and you better, because it's right. We made different than Him. And though I can carry things and we're built to carry things, Brother Cliff, that my wife wasn't built to carry, there's things that I'm built that I'm not built to carry. There's things along this journey that even, I don't care how strong of a man you are, even in the faith, there's things that get too hard and too heavy and it's too burdensome and you will break beneath the load. And you better learn how to lean. You know these verses, but listen to them. Some of the best verses in the Bible, Proverbs 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Not only will it get too heavy and too hard, but you ain't going to know which way to go. You're going to need, hey, how many of you, how many of you have learned to depend, shall I say, on Google? Hello, Tokyo. Y'all still out there? I don't know how to get out of my yard no more. I get lost in my own neighborhood these days. You know why? Somebody say, hey, what's his number? I don't know. Here, look it up. It's on there. Whatever their name is, I hit that, and it's that simple. These things have dumbed us down. Try reading a map for the first time in a decade. See how that works. I'm simply saying, hey, listen. We don't know how to get nowhere no more. We don't know how to count, spell, add, subtract, multiply. Never knew how to do fractions. Hated them. She tried her best. That wasn't happening. That just wasn't happening. I'm saying, but hey, guess what? Mr. Google can do them. I told her, I ain't gonna need this stuff. Proved you wrong. I'm just kidding. No, seriously, there's a price to be. My point is, hey, listen, when I get in the middle of somewhere and I have no idea where I'm at, that's a terrible feeling to get lost. Oh, I ain't one of these morons. Like hard, I'm hard-headed, but not when it comes to directions. I will pull over and ask somebody in a minute and do a circle around them and be like, yep, I'm still here, lost again. Can you tell me again? Round three. I'll pull that phone out in a second to get unlost. Rerouting. I'll do it. You know, my point is this. You better learn how to lean, because He's the only one who knows the path. It ain't all paved roads from here. Oh, this is so good. I ain't never thought about it. Oh, this is good. When you're walking in a circle, it ain't long till you get a path. Don't take much effort just to follow your own footsteps. They've been walking like a racetrack. I mean, just say we're getting off the beaten path. We're going somewhere we ain't never been. We're going somewhere where there ain't paths well trodden. And you need to learn how to lean on the one who can lead you. And say, this way, I'll direct you. Enemy ahead. Detour. Cliff. Sinkhole. And it's dark as a million midnights. And you need Him who has better vision than Superman. You get what I'm saying? Learn how to lean. The strategy of the Savior. He gave peace. I ain't going to be able to get through this, but He gave a promise. This is just point one, point A of one. So we're going to just be here a minute, not tonight. But He gave a promise in verse 8, too. Not only peace, but the Lord didn't stop with just a word of encouragement. He also gave them the promise. Listen. Not only will I give you peace on the way, but I'm promising you, before we start, victory. Amen. Guaranteed. Before the first bullet was fired, before the first sword was, God said, I will deliver. What a promise. What a promise. Ain't you glad God didn't save you to be defeated? He said, I'll cause you to triumph. You are more than conquerors. That's what He said. When we're going to be done right here. Listen, when God saved, take us home with you. When God saved you, He saved you to give you victory, not live in defeat. Think about that. We'd all say amen to the fact God saved you to deliver you from sin. Did He not, Brother David? Didn't He save you to deliver you from your sin? That's what He did. But just as important as to deliver you from sin, He was delivering you to victory. It's part of the same process. You can't have one without the other. God didn't save you, nor me, to live in defeat. He saved you to give you the victory. He giveth the victory. What a promise. Listen, they just quoted it. Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. How? Through Him. I'm talking about the strategy of the Savior. Through Him that loved us. Yeah. That doesn't mean that every situation in life will work out the way you want it, but it does mean that God will enable you to live above your circumstances and share in His victory over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil. That is as good of a promise as you can ask for. Amen. And just so I don't have to come back and re-preach this, let me just, oh goodness, I forgot about all this under here. Yeah, so I ain't going to preach it tonight. Two supernatural powerful miracles. The hail, God moved in the hail, and God moved in the heavens. He rained down the hail and killed more than they could kill with a sword. And then He moved in the heavens and stopped the orbit. I mean, stopped the solar system. In its like, I start to say, pull out your watch and stop your watch. People don't even got that anymore. You just pull out your phone. God stopped the orbit. And I was going to go into detail and studied it. Historically, you can count back. It happened on a Tuesday, and I can give you the date. And historically speaking, on every calendar, in every way they keep time, there's one day, 24 hours missing. You know when that day was? When God stopped the solar system. So why? So Joshua and the children of Israel would prevail and have the victory. Why? Because God promised it. And when God promises something, you can take her to the bank. Amen. That's right. I'll just give you a quick synopsis of all that, and I'll stop there. Next week, so tonight we looked at the strategy about the Savior. Next week, we'll pick up about the strategy about the saints, and it's right there in the text. And it shifts from God's view and our attention on Him to us. And there are responsibilities that we must carry to get from here to there. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray You take Your word. Lord, speak to us from it. Encourage Your people tonight, Lord. That one that's having a rough go of it, Lord, I pray You'd encourage them and strengthen them, God, tonight. Lord, I want to say thank You personally, Lord, for speaking to me through Your word. God, tonight I needed it, Lord, and I appreciate You helping me, Lord, tonight. I pray You'd touch every family, every person, God, represented here tonight. God, every home. God, help us, Lord, as we are trying our best to get from here to there. Lord, in this next leg of the journey, I ask in Jesus' name, help us to learn to lean on You and quit trying to carry so much ourselves, Lord. God, quit trying to figure out how to get there, but Lord, just simply by faith, trusting You. Lord, and in just doing that, living by faith, that will give us victory and that will give us peace that You promised us. And we'll thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.